This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. Earlier in the program, we began a conversation with DTE Energy Chairman and CEO Jerry Anderson. We talked about the utility's plan to eliminate coal power plants and to make greater investments in natural gas and renewable energies. In this second part of WEMU's Issues of the Environment, I want to push the conversation further. Mr. Anderson, I do want to touch on the nuclear question. It's part of the energy equation right now. DTE has tentative plans anyway to build a Fermi 3 nuclear power plant right next to Fermi 2 in Frenchtown Township in Monroe County, right on the shore of Lake Erie. Where does that plan stand?
So nuclear energy produces about 20% of the electric output in our country, and that obviously is carbon-free. And as people study moving toward a lower carbon future, maintaining that 20% slice today that is carbon free is really important. There's a lot of policy discussion around that one. In Michigan, and particularly within our own operations, that's the Fermi 2 plant. And our goal is to keep that an important part of our mix for the foreseeable future. That new unit, I don't expect to be built anytime in the near term. That was really kicked off back in the 2007-08 timeframe that I mentioned earlier, when it wasn't as clear that natural gas and renewables could play a role in bringing down emission levels the way that they have shown that they can play that role. So we have that license, and we're going to have that license as an option for the future, but don't plan to build in the near term.
If I recall, back several years ago, I read that it would be about a $20 billion investment to build a Fermi 3 plant over a course of a decade or two. Is that about the amount you plan on investing in renewables and the associated grid security?
Well, it's probably not quite $20 billion, probably more in the $10 to $15 billion range for a new nuclear plant. But yes, over time, as we build out renewables and natural gas and retire coal, I think you would see a similar amount go into those resources. As I said, they're significant investments, but they're made over long time frames. So, you know, we're not talking about doing this over a handful of years. We're talking about doing it over a couple of decades. And the modeling that we do here at the company shows that there's no sucker's choice between affordability and fundamentally improved environmental outcomes. We can have both in this country. We can fundamentally reduce conventional emissions and carbon emissions. And we can do that in a way that preserves the state's and this country's competitiveness and affordability for homeowners and small businesses. You can do both. You just have to work your way through it steadily and in a well-thought-out way.
I would imagine that it's very important to you, important to your shareholders, that the utility maintain the dominance in the market for energy. But what of those who want to exercise the right to more energy independence? How do you respond to them, and is there a place for them in the energy future of the state of Michigan?
By energy independence, you mean, for example, homeowners who'd like to generate their own electricity?
Right, and return it to the grid for a credit or for, you know, some sort of remuneration.
I think if a homeowner wants to do that, that's certainly their right. The one thing I would say is that because home production of solar is 2 to 3 times as expensive as large scale, generally, to date, that's been supported by large subsidies, state and federal tax subsidies and utility subsidies. And over time, if that were to play a larger and larger role, those subsidies would need to be borne. So generally, those subsidies are borne by other citizens who aren't home generating. And so what I would say is if folks want to generate at home, you know, I am absolutely fine with that. We just need to make sure that the economics of that really aren't subsidy-driven, but are driven by fundamentals.
I mentioned a moment ago the issue of grid security. We just had a windstorm that blew through southeast Michigan, putting a record number of folks without power. Is there any discussion of moving some of the power lines underground or changing the manner in which we address this grid security, particularly as we move to new technologies?
Yeah, grid reliability is a great topic. That storm that we had was historic. 800,000 customers is by far the largest event we have ever had. And it was the result of essentially a hurricane-type storm where we had nearly 70-mile-an-hour winds that persisted for 12 hours. We are investing a lot in grid reliability. Tree trimming, 85% of the The outages were driven by trees falling onto our lines. We just need to continue to invest and work with communities on trimming trees near our lines, but also in grid hardening and grid automation. So we are replacing wires and poles that were put in decades ago with newer, and they are more durable when we do that. We're also automating our grid to make it restore itself and do that more quickly.
But the plan for now is to keep everything above ground.
Yeah, if you look, and this is not unique to Michigan, it's true across the country. If you do the math on undergrounding any significant part of our system, it gets very, very expensive in a hurry. And so when you try to balance affordability with reliability, undergrounding significant portions of the system just doesn't foot from an economic perspective in terms of rates for customers. And therefore, you can do it maybe at the end of a circuit when you go into a subdivision, but doing it for the majority of the system really isn't the answer. And as I said, that's been looked at and determined over and over across the country as the outcome.
As we look to the future, it is expected that climate change is going to bring more severe weather incidents. And with that in mind, how quickly do you expect that there will be better grid security so that the next 70-mile-per-hour windstorm that blows through isn't going to have such a devastating impact?
I think we're going to see fundamental improvements in our hardening efforts over the next 5-6 years. So I think we're moving quickly to improve that. The interesting thing I would say as well is that I think our country, even though our political posture may not be there, I think our country is going to be a leader in reducing carbon levels. Our country is down 21% in the electric sector since 2005, and it is very clearly going to continue to head south.
Is the marketplace going to drive it? Because the conversation about policy to that end doesn't seem to match what you're saying.
You're right. It is the market that's driving it, and it's two things, really. Our assets are aging. Coal plants are old. A lot of them are 60 to 70 years old. It's time to retire them. And what we're replacing them with are cleaner, more modern technologies that simply have fundamentally different environmental profiles. And so I think while the policy discussion and the politics take on one profile, the underlying reality is this country is going to move to fundamentally better environmental outcomes as we change out our energy infrastructure. And, you know, people talk long term, could the electric sector be down 80% or more in its carbon emissions in the decades ahead? And my answer to that is yes, and I think it'll happen.
So let's project out for a moment to, say, 2050 as a figure. What do you see as the energy mix in Michigan? We'll have nuclear, we'll have natural gas, we'll have renewables. What is that mix going to look like? Because, as our conversation has pointed out, coal should be gone by that time.
Yeah, I think that'll probably evolve. I think natural gas is going to play a significant role in the near term. And then as renewables continue to improve, renewables will then come into a more dominant posture. So in the near term, wouldn't surprise me if we saw something like 20% nuclear, 25 to 30% renewables. By near term, I say out in the 2030 and beyond timeframe, with gas being 50%. And then I think longer term, what you see is gas declining as renewables press in over time further and further. And if you do the math on what that means for carbon emissions in Michigan, you can get an 80% and ultimately more than that reduction in carbon emissions.
So what do you say to those who believe the utilities in Michigan are not moving fast enough in that direction?
Look, if you talk to our customers, 80% of our customers will tell you we want to move on to more modern and clean energy production. They will also tell you we don't want you to break the bank in the process. So businesses want to remain competitive. Homeowners want to be able to pay their bills. But as I said earlier, we can do both. And I think we can do both in a time frame that works. So I think we can make fundamental reductions by 2030. We're already down about a quarter. I think we can be down significantly more by 2030 and continue from there. So in the time spans that we need to work on carbon reductions from a climate change perspective, Michigan and our industry can meet those time frames.
Mr. Anderson, I thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it.
And I enjoyed it. Appreciate the time as well.
That is Jerry Anderson, Chairman and CEO of DTE Energy. I'm David Fair. You've been listening to Issues of the Environment. It's a regular Wednesday feature produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner and the Environmental Health Division. It's heard only on 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.